Hey, everybody, it's Rick and Rob with the Nomad Pastor Podcast.
How you doing, brother?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
I don't sound good, but I'm great.
Man, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know. Hey, today we're going to talk about boundaries.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
I don't really know that I am.
Really?
You know, it's a hard subject to talk about.
It is. It is. Yeah. You know, it's not just a hard subject to talk about, but it's a hard subject to put into practice.
It really is.
that's where I fail, you know, a lot.
It's like, what does it really mean?
Well, sorry.
You're okay.
I'm sorry. Folks, I'm very sorry. Boundaries has to be a line that we put that we won't cross, or that we won't let someone else cross, to affect our outcome or to affect our growth.
How do you, here's where I struggle with boundaries. While I agree with what you said, I struggle with setting the appropriate boundaries when you start a relationship. And then trying to correct
course,
right? Because you've recognized that, like, this is certainly something I'm not cool with.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And then so how do you set that next boundary? How do you reset?
Let's look at this in a couple of different angles. First of all, let's talk about it in a friendship relationship.
Yeah.
And then let's talk about it in a possible cohabitation relationship.
Let's do that.
Okay. So let's start with friends first.
Okay.
Okay. Because we've been married long enough that we already know what the boundaries are.
It's whatever she wants.
Exactly. Exactly. And we know how long, we know where her goat is tied. I know where Rebecca's goat's tied. You know where Linda's goat's tied. That's and right. You know how to get there daily and how long the rope is.
Absolutely.
I do.
Absolutely.
I know exactly. So boundaries and friendships. So coming from a recovery background.
Yeah.
Okay. So coming from that, my boundaries have to be set so that my recovery is not affected.
That's a good one.
But at the same time, my boundaries have to also be set so that my spiritual growth is not affected.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. What about, I think the spiritual growth one's the hard one.
Very.
Right?
Very. Because ministry comes into play there.
Well, it does a lot.
Yeah.
Right? And that ministry can impact, like, we're going places where they're going to be drinking.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You know, if we go to a clubhouse or
we
go somewhere, there's some boundaries there.
Right.
Right? I think that's why we try to tell people, like, you don't go to a clubhouse alone.
Alone. Right?
You got to be above reproach.
Right. Right.
So, but an average everyday friendship that you may make a friend at work, or you may, you know, it was easier to make friends when your kids were little.
Yeah.
Right? Because you'd go to soccer or you'd go somewhere.
Yeah, go to baseball and football. And, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, hey, counts. You know, your wife was setting you up on play dates. And,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
She had a friend. You should hang out with her husband.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've all been there.
Yeah, we have.
But I still struggle with that because, like, I want them to like me, right? I want them to be, you know, I want people to like me in general. I don't know why. Like, I have this desire to be liked.
I do too. But at the same time, they're liked and approved by. Are those the same things?
Well, maybe.
Okay, so let me put it to you this way.
So, how can you like somebody that you don't approve of? Maybe I changed your question.
No, you changed the way I was going to answer it.
Okay, all right.
So here's my reasoning in asking that question. So I can like the way that somebody does certain things.
Yeah.
Let's take work, for instance.
Absolutely.
So I can appreciate the way that somebody accomplishes a task, whether it be and let me get a little granular here, okay? Whether it be in the way that we go about setting up a specific access port.
Okay.
Okay? Or whether it be, and that's pretty general, or whether it be the way that we attack a troubleshooting issue. Let's do it like that, yeah. Okay? So I may look at from, one point this way, and somebody else may do it one point this way. I like the way that that person does that.
Yeah.
Okay? I like the way that that person has a different way of thinking that's a little bit broader stroke on a particular thing than I did.
Yeah.
That does not necessarily mean that I approve of everything that they do at work.
I agree with that.
Okay. So I can like somebody and I can like the way that somebody has a fervor.
Yeah.
For motorcycles.
Yeah.
Okay. That doesn't mean that I approve of them as a person that is trying to walk the same walk that I am.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah. So what I look at it as like there's really four types of boundaries, I think.
Okay.
There's an emotional boundary.
True.
Right? Physical boundary.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual boundary.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's three.
What would your fourth one be?
Maybe sexual.
Okay.
Right.
Well, we're going to get into that later. We're going to get into that later. Yeah.
But I think the real – because, right, I think physical is sexual too, right? So that's
what – Well, it incorporates that, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So if you've recognized that there's this line of this is an emotional boundary, this is a physical boundary, and this is mm-hmm. a spiritual boundary – there's going to be times in your life that those three lines kind of merge together.
Sure.
Right? And I think that's where people struggle,
mm-hmm.
right? Because, you know, Definitely. It's easy for me to say, this is a hard pass, right? I'm mm-hmm. not going to pass this physical boundary.
Right.
Right? One thing that I've struggled with in the past, and I've always had this boundary, and I'm trying to not have it. I'm trying to kind of overcome it. But – you know, I've had this boundary in the past. Like, if you do me wrong, you're dead.
Yeah.
You're dead to me.
Yeah. I was that way.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, you and I history has not been perfect, right?
No.
We've had issues.
Lots. Right?
And you know, previous Rick would have been like, you're dead to me.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
And I may have tried to assassinate.
Right? And previous Batman would have been.
Exactly.
You're dead to me. Right?
You're gone. History.
That's right. But that's that kind of physical boundary, I think,
mm-hmm.
that I have always been unwilling to, like, I don't care. But when it comes to spiritually, like, I'm supposed to love everybody.
Right.
Right? And so there's this gray area, and I think as confusing as it was for me, it's going to be confusing for other people too. So how do we talk to people or you know, engage people to say, I recognize these boundaries. Here's some tools.
How do we engage that?
Yeah. How do we have those conversations to get people to, like, because people can't just cut people out of their life forever because they cross some boundary. Can they?
Well, are they supposed to or can they?
Well, they can, but they're not supposed
to. Right. Okay. So there you go. Okay. But, so, right. Yeah. 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 So this is where it gets tough.
Yeah.
So to explain kind of my answer this way, in order to not cut someone out, but I don't want to say defend a boundary, but I guess that's the best term.
Yeah.
Defend that boundary. We have to realize what, number one, is triggering us to be close to that boundary.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Right?
Yeah.
Number two, we have to realize that in order to grow and in order to be fruitful in a Christian life, and if you look at, you know, Galatians 5:22, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, that's, you know, that's not gifts, that's fruit.
It's fruits.
Right? We have to employ those and deploy those those things in order for us to realize what our boundaries are.
Yeah.
The minute that we don't continue in those things, the minute that we don't continue to use the fruits of the Holy Spirit to show our growth, then we allow somebody to cross that boundary.
Yeah.
And that's when anger comes in and we cut somebody out.
Yeah. I think, I know I'm going to butcher it, but, you know, Linda has explained to me a couple times how, like, she's got her house,
mm-hmm.
right? And then she's got the front yard.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's got the neighbor across the street.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's got the moon. Right?
Okay.
And, like I said, I know I'm going to butcher it. But she'll talk about how, like, look, I can still like you,
yeah.
but my boundary for this individual is you're a moon person. I'll wave at you. I'll say hi. We ain't hanging out. We're not neighbors.
I like that.
Right? You don't get to come in my yard. You don't get to come in my house.
Right, right, right. right.
But we're going to – I like you.
Right.
Right? But you've crossed some boundary or you haven't earned the right. Like I said, I know I'm butchering it.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
But because I'm definitely not explaining it as good as she could.
Well, it's her deal.
Anyway. It's her deal, right? But, you know, but that's – I don't think I've really ever thought about it as, you know, like that's a boundary. And I don't want you to cross that boundary, I'm going to put you here.
Mm-hmm.
Still text you, still call you, still, but you're not coming in my house.
Okay.
Now, not my physical house, right? But
right.
Just, it's not a physical thing. It's right. just I'm not letting you close to my heart, right? Because the Bible says guard your heart.
Right, right.
And so maybe if somebody is a boundary breaker.
Yeah.
Right? You don't want them close to your heart.
No. Well, I like that. Yeah. So the moon person for me would be an acquaintance.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that's an acquaintance.
Yeah.
People that I let in my yard are going to be my friends.
Yeah.
People that I let in my house.
Yeah.
That's my circle.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
And people that I let into the bathroom in my house, that's my family.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
So tell Linda, you need to add some to it. Make sure there's a bathroom in it.
Make sure. Linda and I talk about refrigerator friends.
Oh, wow.
Right? Are you good enough friends with somebody that when they walk in your house, they're just comfortable enough to go open the refrigerator and help themselves?
I like that.
Right?
I like that.
Who are you close enough to that you could walk in their house and open the refrigerator? Right?
Yeah.
And so that's, I believe, my opinion, that should be people's goals in life.
Yes.
You just walk, yes. like, you know, because that's the one, you know, there's a lot of negative things about social media, but we don't have refrigerator friends anymore.
We don't.
Right? You know,
like. Not as a whole.
Not as a whole. Like.
Right.
It used to be very common to just show up at people's houses
mm-hmm.
without even telling them you're coming.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But now that's a boundary that people don't like. What are you doing at my house?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm just as bad. I got a Ring doorbell and, and if I see somebody, I'm not answering it. I'm like, I didn't invite you over.
Yeah. Yeah. But remember back in the day, and we say this a lot, but remember back in the day. Yeah. Back in the day when you just walked in somebody's house and go, yoo, I'm here.
Yeah. Hey, I'm here.
I'm
but
here.
That's what I mean. Right. That's
right.
Like a refrigerator friend.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's a refrigerator friend.
Because they just show up.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what are we having for dinner?
But let me ask you this. Have we made our boundaries double bold lines to keep that from happening?
Oh, look, my boundaries are like cement blocks.
I get you.
Right?
I got you.
Cinder blocks stacked double deep, filled with cement.
With backer board on each side
That's
of
right.
them so that
That's
you
right.
can paint it.
Yeah.
Red.
It's a great, yeah, great house.
Yeah.
Great walls.
Yeah.
Now, look, I like to believe I've torn them down a little bit, but I still ain't answering the door if I didn't invite you over.
Well, I'll answer the door, but I may tell you, now's not a good time.
I'm probably not answering the door.
Well, I would call you before I came anyway.
but it shouldn't be that way.
It shouldn't.
Right? It shouldn't
not
be
with,
that
not
way.
With not with the refrigerator, you know? Friends. Not
that's
with
right.
the circle.
That's right. And look, I have friends. If they showed up, I wouldn't just not answer the door.
Right.
Right? But they would just probably walk in. Like, they would knock, and as they're knocking, they're walking in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, hey, we're here. What's going on?
Yeah. When Rebecca and I, well, I went over, where is she not both? Went over to a friend's house a couple weeks ago, and he goes, dude, you got to quit knocking. Just come on in. You're a champion here. Just come on in.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, man, you know, you're the exact same way at my house.
Yeah.
You know, my dogs are going to alert when you pull up in the driveway or not anyway, because it's like, it's Uncle Cash.
That's
you
right. Know? That's right. That's right.
You know, he's here. That's right.
Yeah. Yay.
We get to kiss him. You know, so, but, you know, we have those friends. I've got them, you know, guys that just walk up and, you know, walk in the house, you know.
Yeah.
And they don't care that there's a dirty skillet on the edge of the thing. You know, they don't care. They'll probably end up washing it anyway.
Yeah.
You know.
Like, but cool, we get to use this one again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have those things. But we have, I think the advent of social media that was literally supposed to be letting other people see what you're having for dinner.
Yeah.
You know, we've let that turn into arguments and fights to where we have those double cement walls for boundaries now.
Right.
And
right.
we have, you know, we've got rebar reinforced doorways, you know, that you have to commit to a certain thing. You have to be a certain mindset in order to come through this door.
Right. Right.
To either get inside the fort or to get inside the yard or, you know, and we've put too many expectations. And I hope that we get to a point to where we realize the difference in an expectation and a boundary.
What's the difference to you?
To me, an expectation is thinking that someone would let me put it in a spiritual sense, okay? So an expectation for me would be realizing that a prayer needs to be a physical blessing.
Okay.
Okay? Something servanthood-based.
Yeah.
Right? And a boundary, the difference in an expectation and a boundary would be, if you don't do this, you're out.
Yeah. I could see that.
You know?
Yeah.
And too many times we allow the expectation to become the boundary.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, right? Like, we expect, like, I expect a Christian to act this way.
Right. We expect that. And if you don't.
And if you don't, I shouldn't just cut you out.
But too many times.
Lots of times.
Yeah.
Lots of times people do.
Right. Right.
I expect not to have this occur, right? Right. Or I expect to be safe. I expect.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. But here's the thing. My way of thinking and somebody else's way of thinking, like I'm always looking for the opportunity to serve somewhere.
Right.
But, I'll call you back, babe.
she knows you're here, but she's wondering about that floor.
She is wondering about the floor. Yeah. Where was I going? Oh, my way of thinking and looking for ways to serve and the things that I see in that I can serve in
right.
may be different from the way that this guy over here is looking for ways to serve and sees a different
way absolutely. To serve. Absolutely. Because there is, and there's not a wrong way to serve.
Right. There's
right? not. Like, we're all here to serve God and, you know, some people serve different ways, and that's okay. It's okay for somebody to be like, hey, you know, my service is I'm going to cook dinner.
Yeah.
Somebody else's services are going to take clothes to the homeless. Somebody else's services are going to, you know, do something else.
Yeah.
Right? We all do different things, and yep. that's okay.
It's okay. It's okay. But not. That was a double negative, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's okay though.
But what I'm trying to say is, when somebody else has that different mindset of servanthood, just because it doesn't match up to yours, doesn't necessarily mean that we have to keep them outside the boundary.
That's true. We don't. And I wish people recognized that, but they don't always recognize that. They think, I'm going to keep you at arm's length.
Right. Right.
You know, you're not coming in my yard.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's a boundary that I've put up.
Right.
And it's reinforced.
It is.
With barbed wire.
Yeah.
10 feet tall.
Yeah. And if you get on the other side of it, there's a minefield.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And I'm going to watch you try to traverse it.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm going to go, told you, when you blow up.
Hope it doesn't blow up.
Yeah.
Hope it doesn't blow up. So when you think about those different types of boundaries, right? Physical, mm-hmm. emotional, spiritual. What's the hardest one? What's the hardest one to kind of say, don't cross this? Or, you know, this is a boundary that I've put up for this reason, you know?
My initial answer would be spiritual, but at the same time, I realize that not everybody's on the same spiritual walk or has the same spiritual desires I do.
Yeah. You know, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about, you've seen the Pilgrim's Progress, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and his backpack just keeps getting heavier and heavier and heavier. Yeah. And it's all this stuff that keeps getting heaped on it, mm-hmm. right? And it's all these boundaries that are broken.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's what I thought. That's just the picture I had. It's like all these boundaries that have been broken, but it was all spiritual.
Yeah.
And while I think spiritual should be the easiest mm-hmm. to accept and overcome, because like you just said, right, we're all on a different walk. We don't know where different people are at. And I think it's the least forgiving sometimes.
I think it's the most least forgiving.
Yeah.
It is.
But why is that?
I don't know. Let me say this. I have a guess at it.
Well, that's what we're here for, right?
Well, yeah. So the reason I think is because we want to too many times cherry pick what we want.
Yeah.
Either out of scripture or out of a sermon.
Yeah.
You know, and we want to go, see, I told you.
Yeah.
You're wrong, I'm right.
Yeah.
And it's always the self-accolade that ends up, the me-ism.
Yeah.
That leads to that.
I think the boundaries are hard too, because when it talks about spiritual boundaries, because I think, like, unfortunately, and I believe this is an American Christianity problem much more than just Christianity in general.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, unfortunately, we tend to – Christians in general, I'm going to use this, the very broad general term of Christians, right, mm-hmm. tend to hold other Christians to unrealistic expectations.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Like, well, you shouldn't do that because you're a Christian.
Yeah.
When I'm saying, that guy's broke.
Yeah.
Right? We are all broken.
Yeah.
The church is a hospital full of broken people.
It is. It is.
Don't expect.
Not a resort.
That just because somebody's in the church that they're not going to hurt you.
Yeah. Yeah. And realizing that gets us past the point of, well, the church is nothing but a bunch of hypocrites.
That's right. It should. It should get us past that.
It should.
Right?
It should.
Because it's not a bunch of hypocrites. It's a bunch of broken people.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. Now, look, those broken people should not go to somebody else who's broken and condemn them for the brokenness.
Well, that's a speck and a plank.
That is absolutely a speck and a plank,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Don't judge, lest you be judged, right?
Right, right, right.
But they don't recognize that. And that's why I said, I started off with this as I believe an American Christianity problem.
It is.
Right? You know, that for some reason, you know, we believe that we've kind of cornered the market on being Christians.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I hate to say it that way. I'm lumping myself in there.
Me right? too. And but we have. And we have, I think because of living inside the border of a superpower.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, one of the richest countries in the world.
Yeah.
that market cornering mentality ends up polluting too many things outside of that border.
Right.
I really do, because we think. I heard a great story one time about a missionary in China, and that's missionary and China just don't go together.
Not generally,
right? Not generally. And the way that he would start off in order to get people to understand about some of these underground churches would be just play ping pong.
Yeah, just do what they do.
You know, and so we in America look at it as the doors of the church are open.
Right.
Come hear the word.
Right.
And we think about
God will bless you.
Exactly.
Walk in the door. Yeah.
Just come in. You know, and we have facilitated this idea that because we're Christians.
Yeah.
That everything is okay.
That's right.
You know,
we've cornered the market.
We've got it, right? Whereas there are people, and I heard, there are guys that are playing ping pong to risk telling the wrong person.
That's right.
About an underground church because they can't meet publicly.
Right.
Heard another great story several years ago. There, are you familiar? You're familiar with Bibles Without Borders, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So, Bibles Without Borders was at. They decided to circle Ramadan, right? And they're just literally just walking around the outer barrier of.
And if anybody knows what they're doing,
right?
There's a lot of risk.
But all they're doing is praying.
Yeah.
Right. Well, this person comes up to them and asks them what they're doing. And so they tell them, you know, we're praying for people inside Ramadan, and he wants to know more. So they tell him we're praying to the one true God, and they have 176 people that are walking around the outside just praying, quoting scripture, you know, claiming the name of Jesus. This guy comes up and wants to know more. They take him to a place where they show him the Jesus film.
Yeah.
And the Jesus film project.
Very familiar with
it. Very, it's a great, great tool.
Yeah.
They have translated the Jesus film into, I think, 1,500.
Yes, that's correct.
Different languages. So they take this guy. He wants to see the Jesus film. So he takes him there. He watches it 3 times in a row. That's a 4-hour movie.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, I would like to come back tomorrow and see this again. I said, okay. So he goes back home. His wife says, where have you been? And he says, I have to tell you, I went to pray and met this man that was praying to God, not to Allah.
Yeah.
And he showed me this film, and we're doing this wrong. And she said, why didn't you take me? And he said, well, danger, number one. And she gets mad at him for not taking him because she wants to know more, right?
She wants to know more.
So the next day, he takes his wife and his children and takes them to this guy, and he takes them underground to watch the Jesus film. All this man and his wife and their family are saved. They become Christians. So they renounce Islam and become Christian, right? A few days later, a neighbor comes and knocks on the door and tells the wife, you need to leave now. Your son, your husband is about to hang in the public, in the square, in public. So she jumps in an SUV and takes off.
Yeah.
She goes screaming out across the country. They hang the husband. She stops at a mosque that she knows the imam there.
Yep.
And she knows this guy, right? And she's beating on the door, and he knows what she's about now. He knows that she's converted to Christianity.
Right.
Tells her no. She goes down the road to another villager, and it's in the middle of the night, beats on the door, and he says, come on in. You know, at first he tells her no, then he finally relents, comes in. And the next morning, the imam from the mosque is beating on this villager's door. He's like, "You've got to give me back my guests." And the guy goes, "I can't." He said, No. You have to give me back my guests because I was visited last night in a dream by a man named Jesus. He told me that whoever I denied, that he would deny before God the Father." And the villager goes, No, you don't understand. You see, I had the exact same dream." And she sat down with the imam from a mosque and a prominent villager, shared Jesus with them from what she had learned just days before.
Yeah.
Right? And now there's an imam from a mosque that has converted to Christianity.
Yeah.
And a villager, a prominent village leader, that's done the same thing because of a man walking around the outside of Ramadan. And we think in America that we'll just open the doors.
That's right. And they'll come.
And they'll come because we have set spiritual boundaries on what we will do or won't do to spread the gospel.
You know, what's crazy is, you know, I went to Africa, right?
Yeah.
Right. And we distributed the Jesus film.
Yeah.
Right.
Didn't you guys, was it you all that had that pulled the generator behind a four-wheeler or?
No, there was no generator. It was all solar panels, like solar-powered, solar batteries.
Okay, I'm thinking so.
We actually took 9 backpacks, right? So each backpack had a full Jesus film setup.
Right.
We took 3 each, me, Joe, and Malcolm.
Yeah.
We actually rode motorcycles in Togo, Africa.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, like they had motorcycles waiting for us.
Very cool.
It was crazy. It was awesome, right? But, we went this one night. And set up, there was like these sticks, right? And like, whoa, let's put it right here. and that's where we set up for that night. And there was, local pastors from Togo that would kind of go out in the village and talk to people. And and it was interesting because you said that it's in 1,500 languages. The language they spoke was Ewe. We didn't speak Ewe, of course.
Yeah.
Right. And
sounds to me like Amway.
Yeah. And Tim, the guy who was with us, spoke French.
Uh-huh.
So he didn't speak Ewe either.
Yeah.
But he had a guy with him who spoke French and Ewe.
Yeah.
Not English. So it was like translating from English to French, French to Ewe, and back and forth when we would talk with them, right?
Wow.
It was crazy. When we started, there was maybe 10 or 15 people sitting there watching the video.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of little kids running around, dancing, having a good old time, you know?
Yeah.
By the time they finished the video, there was probably 50.
Mm.
And what we didn't know at the time is you couldn't see them in the tree line. There was probably another 100 people watching.
Really?
But you couldn't see. And this lady comes out. Now, this is all being translated back and forth, right? But this lady comes out and she says, "Look, I've done everything that I can." She says, "But every time I go out into my garden, I pass out." Now, in Togo, like your garden is everything,
right?
Most people don't work, right? Like your garden provides food.
Right.
She says, "Every time I go out into my garden, I pass out. And when I wake up," or she says, "Every time I go to my garden, a black crow flies into the garden. Mm-hmm. I pass out. When I wake up, I feel like a snake is climbing out of my mouth. So I'm afraid to go to my garden."
Wow.
Right? Now, the dominant religion there is animist, mm-hmm. right? Which is like witchcraft and voodoo.
Right.
So Yahweh, who's the director of the Nazarene Church in Africa, in Togo, he says, he gets Joe and they're praying and he says, "Look, you're fighting demons with demons. You know, none of that's going to work. You got to get rid of all of that." And she says, I'll do anything.
Mm.
And so she gave her life to Christ that night.
Yeah.
Now, what we didn't get to see, because we were going to another village, right? The next day, we went to another village.
Yeah.
We had to go to the owner of the village, the chief, right, who is an animist chief, right? And, mm-hmm. He's the spiritual leader of this place.
Right.
And get his permission to show the Jesus film.
Right.
But while we're doing that, they're at that same place again the next night, and she comes back. with all of these amulets and things that every witch doctor had given her before and said, today was the first day that I could go out of my garden and I didn't pass out. And so she said, I don't need all of these. And they burned them all.
Wow.
She watched the film again.
Wow.
Right? I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
It, so when you think about the boundaries that we set over Christianity in America, right? We look at these people in Africa. I'll never forget. We went to a Sunday service in Africa, and the pastor says, if you worked and earned money this week, not, hey, it's time for our tithes and offerings.
Yeah.
If you worked and earned money this week, it's time for you to pay your tithings to God.
Mm.
Now, there's probably, I got videos, I should say, there's probably 100 people in this church, counting kids, right?
Right, right.
So it's, you know, it's for Africa, it's a normal sized church, right?
Right.
Probably 100, congregation of 100, maybe 50 adults.
Mm-hmm.
Five people got up.
Five people worked that week?
Five people had worked that week and God would pay their tithing.
Wow.
Now, this community had been ravished by, you know, just for lack of a better term, right? Like, you know, terrorists, right? Lots of, there was like 100, 115 or 120 orphans in this village. Now, this church had taken in like 30 of them.
Wow.
And they were trying to raise money to take in another 100. These families of this community had, you know, they wanted to buy like a little three-wheel truck, right? It's like $1,700.
Yeah.
But it would have given them the ability to take the stuff they make in their garden to the market to sell it so that they would have money to buy food to raise these kids.
Mm.
Right?
Can I send a check?
I did not come home with any money. Let me say that.
Wow.
But when you think about that, there was no boundary around, are you a good or bad Christian?
Right.
There was no boundary around, I don't know that I would do that.
Yeah.
Right? It was, Christ said,
do it.
Do it.
Mm.
And that night that we went to the chief and asked permission, he gave us permission to show it in his village. And then he gave his life to Christ.
Amen.
Right? Which was huge because he owned all the land.
Right.
All the land, all the huts, everything that people lived in. Mm-hmm. If he said, this is crap, they're going to follow him. Because he could tell them to get off his property.
Right.
But he gave his life to Christ, which opened the door for everybody else.
Everybody else.
They could be free to worship the way they wanted to worship.
Wow.
Just break the boundaries. So why do we set those boundaries here?
I can't. Me-ism.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
It is because we end up with a greed of some kind.
Yeah.
Whether it be, no, I'm teaching the Sunday school class.
Right.
Or I am going to be the worship leader. You know what I mean? I don't think we realize just how much importance we place on our prominence.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I don't think we realize how much we rely on, and I don't want to say self-reliance, how much we rely on what our own thoughts of abilities are.
I think that's we do rely on ourselves a lot.
We do.
Right. And to some extent, you know, God has given us the ability to rely on ourselves, but not to the extent that I think some people do.
But we also have to realize too, Rick, that every single gift, every single talent that I have,
yeah,
that you have, is a blessing from God.
It is. It absolutely is. I think it's hard for me because, you know, we talked last time or a couple episodes ago about us, you know, still looking for that right church.
The right church.
And when I go in places, even today, I feel that judgment that you're not a good Christian or why are you wearing that? Or,
yeah,
you know, and you see it on people's faces.
You do.
Right. You see it on their face and it's really disheartening.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's really disheartening to be in an environment that you're like, we're all supposed to love each other.
Yep.
We're all supposed to accept each other. We're all supposed to recognize that we're all broken.
And realizing that we're all broken.
Yeah.
And realizing and we talked a couple of weeks ago, a couple episodes back about who's in your boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that kind of ties in a lot with kind of what we're talking with today in boundaries and how you differentiate in putting those people in a boat.
Yeah.
Right. So we look at what I can do, what you can do, what she can do or he can't do.
Yeah.
And we determine whether or not we're going to walk beside that person in a spiritual walk.
Yeah.
Or whether or not we're going to glean from something that they can do instead of us being this eclectic melting pot of Christians that are living out what Acts chapter 2 is about.
Absolutely, right?
You know, now I'm you hear me say this, I'm not for communal living personally.
Well, yeah,
I'm not. Now if it comes down to you know,
I'm not saying that either, but isn't this coming up to be like the anniversary for the Protestant Reformation? Isn't that just like the 29th or something like that? Martin Luther stuck the thing.
Is it October 29th?
It's coming up.
It's coming up. Yeah. I don't remember exactly what the day it is. I was thinking it was November 29th.
I'm going to try to look it up while you're talking here.
Okay. So and when I say not for communal living,
right?
I'm saying everybody in the same house.
It's actually October 31st.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
15,
All
17.
Hallowed Eve.
Yeah.
15 what? 17?
Yeah.
Okay. But I am for us living in a community to where you have a need, I see it, I feel it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I have a need. He sees it. He feels it.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, to some extent, it may sound crazy, right? But I look at the Amish community.
Yep.
And that's what they do.
They do.
Right? I'm not saying that I want to be Amish, right?
But, well, it might be pretty cool sometimes. But, I mean, think about it.
I mean, I see him all the time.
Yeah.
Right? You know, working up in Kentucky.
I know.
But that's what they do, right? It's all about, hey, I'm gonna grow potatoes.
Yep.
And that guy's gonna grow fruit, and this guy's gonna do cattle, and that guy's right. And they're all doing it together.
Right.
Right. You need a barn? We're all gonna build a barn.
We're all there together.
Right. We're all there together. And while they're not all living in the same house, right? It's not communal.
Right.
It is a community.
Right. Right.
Right. Which are two different things.
It is. It is. It is.
And there's a lot to be said for that community. That. You know, that relationship that they have with each other, that the boundaries keep them together.
And keep others that are not about that community out.
That's right.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. 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 So in this conversation.
Yeah.
With boundaries.
Yeah.
Can boundaries be good and bad?
Yes.
Can you allow boundaries that you set to keep you closed up so that you don't grow in any of those three ways, emotionally, physically, or spiritually?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Right. And I'll say that just for me specifically, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think before coming to Christ, I had some pretty strict boundaries. Mm-hmm. And even when I first came to Christ, and I'm overcoming them boundaries, you know, year by year.
Right.
But like if I didn't know you, you never had a chance.
Yeah.
Right? Like I will cut you.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm just saying that the boundaries I had were not healthy. It kept me from relationships. It kept me from friendships. It kept me from love.
Yep.
It kept me from family, right? It kept me from having the relationships with people that I have today, right? Physically, emotionally, and it certainly kept me from having any type of spiritual relationship.
Sure.
Right? Because I had these walls from growing up in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Mormon, everybody I knew was Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody I knew, like, hated you when you weren't Mormon.
Yeah.
Right? I can't say everybody, because I had some very good friends growing up.
Yeah.
Right? But for the most part, that's what it was like. And so, it kept me from doing a lot of stuff.
Fruitful stuff, or just kept you from doing stuff?
It kept me from doing a lot of fruitful stuff,
yep.
And allowed me to do a lot of not fruitful stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I see that. I can, and so I grew up, like I said earlier, I grew up on a big grain farm. My family was a grain farmer, and my dad broke away from that grain farm when I was in second grade.
Yeah,
and started a carpet cleaning business. So we were always, either helping dad clean carpets, or we were out, helping out on the farm, or, something like that. We were always service-based. I remember times growing up, we would get a phone call in the middle of the night, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, where a water heater line had broke, and a house was flooded. So, dad's shaking us out of a rack, and we're going, we're going to go pull carpet up and dry it somewhere, or, I was driving the other night, or a few weeks ago, driving and watching this big combine, and he had like a 24 foot header on, he was hitting like 12 rows of corn at a time. Yeah. And I remember times I loved the thrash, I loved to drive a combine. And remember, hey, we would work till 10:30, 11 o'clock at night till the dew set in, and then we'd throw tarps over the grain trucks.
Yep.
And but we'd be out the next morning at 6:30 in the morning. But I missed and I missed some of those things. But here's my point. We set boundaries too many times to where we're not helping other people because our boundary is set.
Yeah.
And boundaries are not necessarily designed to keep us in as much as keep bad out.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
And right. Too many times we allow that to happen. Like, my boundaries are here.
Yeah.
Instead of my boundaries out here, my boundaries are right here. And no, I'm not letting you in, but I'm not crossing it either to get to you to help you out.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's like I said, I had cement walls, right? So my boundaries kept them out, and it kept me in.
Right.
Right? And it's not that way anymore, and I think that my boundaries do keep people out. Mm-hmm. Not all people, right? Mm-hmm. But I think the necessary people right now.
Well, and
as I still grow spiritually.
Right, right. And that's the key point, though. That's the point that everybody misses.
Yeah.
We still have to have that growth no matter what our boundary is.
Absolutely.
Got to.
Got to.
Got to. So how do you want to land this conversation?
Well, I think what you just said means a lot, right? That it's important to recognize that your boundaries are important to you, but the boundary is to protect you, not keep you locked up.
Right.
Right? Because the boundary can be a jail cell as much as it can be a protection.
Sure can.
That's how I would say, don't let your boundary be your jail.
I love that. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, everybody, I just want to say thanks. Great conversation again.
Awesome conversation. Awesome. Hey, and I want to invite people to send us some topics.
Yeah, absolutely.
Send us an email at hello@nomadpastor.org and bounce some stuff off of us. Let us know what you'd like to hear us talk about. And we'll ramble on. You can watch us on YouTube or any podcast platform to hear us.
That's right.
If you don't want to see our ugly faces.
That's right. Just because we're on YouTube doesn't mean you have to watch.
Praise God.
Praise God. Well, we're not taken away from all the other stuff.
No, right? No, we're not. Anyway, man, I loved it today. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. It's Rick and Rob with the Nomad Pastor Podcast. And remember, love God.
Love people.